Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Hello, welcome to our Season 6, Episode 15.
We're back, a Dino Charge story, because it's the only show on television, so thank God it's back. We spent the whole summer just watching paint dry, because it's the only TV show that exists.
I'll tell you, that was the best paint you've ever watched dry, though.
No other shows go on hiatus during the summer. I mean, I don't even know if any other shows exist. I thought it was just Power Rangers, and sometimes Sentai. Depending
Power
on the
Rangers
person.
Is the only show in the history of the universe.
I found Walker Texas Ranger one time. It didn't even have Dino Charge. Didn't even have a hot shot. It's the wrong Chuck.
Truth. Alright, so moving along to the one-ups, I guess, because there's nothing else of interest going on.
No other further nonsense.
Not a whole lot that, Mandarake box with Gaim SHFs in it, finally made its way here, after quite a while. HLJ box with some Ultraman stuff, and Dino Maru finally got here too, because HLJ just took forever to ship anything anymore.
Frankenstein's Dinosaur.
So that's all here and stuff. I think that's about it. I mean, retail purchase-wise, it was mostly just some Transformers and stuff. I finally found the those Dino Thunder, Dino Charger pack things. Perfect. The Ultimate, whatever the fuck they're called.
Spider Monkey.
Yeah, those. My Toys R Us has finally got those in, so I picked those up. And that's really about it. I found some Zelda Wind Waker World of Nintendo Micro sets. I picked those up because Wind Waker's bomb diggity. and I think that is officially it. I'd be geeking out about Pokemon cards right now, except my box got here today. I haven't got a chance to open it yet, so
it's like when
crying.
I got that big candy box, I couldn't open it for like a day, and I was really hungry for candy.
So hopefully I'll get to that tomorrow. And speaking of Pokemon, I've been wanting to play for a while, and there's a fan game I found called Pokemon Insurgents, and so I started that this afternoon.
Did it star the cast of the Divergent series?
No.
Oh, damn.
I think that might make it better. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know those movies. I just know the villain is Rose from the movie with the boat, Titanic. They were going to call the movie Boat, but they didn't think it sounded, like, you know, epic enough.
I like how you went to the movie, the boat.
I was having a hard time. I just kept thinking Leo DiCaprio.
So, like I said, I just started that. It's got some cool concepts in it. They fan-made some Megas. I don't know which ones.
Oh, is it like XY Engine?
It's Game Boy Advance Engine.
Oh, with Mega Evolutions?
Yeah.
That's neat.
So like I said, I don't know which Megas they added. It might be on like a wiki or something somewhere. But one thing that's really cool that they added is back in the TCGs, it was during Ruby Sapphire, I think, they had this concept called Delta Species, and it was basically just Pokemon with fucked up typing. So you had like a electric type Dragonite or a fighting type Blastoise, and it was really stupid. They just wanted to do something to spice up the game a bit. It didn't really do a whole lot, but they added that to this fan game, and I thought that was really cool. They even referenced the region that the card game referenced when they did that, the Hoenn region. But Holland, maybe? I don't know.
It's amazing.
Hold on. But that's really cool, and they, like, altered the sprites. They're really strange. Like, I started with a Charmander that's ghost dragon type.
That's interesting.
And it looks sort of like skeletal. It's not like a walking skeleton or something, but it's like coloring and stuff is all skeletal. So I'm interested to see what the Charizard's going to look like for that. But so that's really cool. The fact that it referenced a TCG thing, I think, was really cool. But so I'm going to play that, and we'll see how that goes. I'll check in every now and then. But that is all. If I remember, I might include a link to it in the show notes. I don't do show notes anymore, but like the description of the podcast episode. But you're lucky I do that anymore. Sometimes it's late.
Ungrateful bastards.
Sometimes it's late and I'm just like, fuck it. I gotta come up with something. When I'm really into it, it's all witty and stuff. But when I like don't give a shit, it's like one sentence, like mocking the title.
You can always tell. It's really funny.
And that it's just, join us as we talk about nonsense and super.
It's always funny
has this shit
when
in it.
You like track your insomnia on Twitter, because like usually it is. Most of the time, it is a shorter description when you've like talked about 10 random topics leading up to the podcast upload.
Yeah, sounds accurate.
Oh man! So I guess it makes it my turn.
Yeah, that's how this works.
I'm going to start my one ups with a question about your one ups.
Okay.
Well, you said that the pine and the other one with the fruit that's mango. You said it was pristine, but like, is there any loose joints around them or anything?
I have to double check, but when I took them out of the box filling with them, no.
Okay, I was just curious because like all the two Baron figure arts I have are loose joints. Like the second one was used, but still, I was just kind of curious if it was something about Baron.
No, I think he was okay. If I feel ambitious during the podcast, I'll break him out and double check. But
okay. I was just curious because I've been thinking about getting that set just because I like the pine form so much because it's so dumb that it's awesome. So, there's been some cheap sets around, so I wasn't sure about if I was going to pick it up or not. And I had to figure out who to put or what arms to put on my arm change Gaim figure. Like, I just rearranged them, and I had to put up, like, risers. I'm here to inform you they cannot make any more because no more will fit. Like, I thought the risers, I was thinking, oh, man, I'm going to have so much room if they make more. I have just enough room for what they have now. Like, and it barely fits in, like, I just put different arms on the people I don't have figure arts for, so I have, like, strawberry arms on Baron regular, because that's all that fit, and he's sitting down like a little kid, because there's no room for him, and I put Kachidoki arms on regular Gaim, which actually looks kind of cool, or no, regular arms on Kachidoki Gaim, so, or regular orange arms, and then the only one that I kind of like the look of for regular Duke was, I have Kachidoki's actual arms on Duke, so it looks kind of weird. But so that's a thing. But there hasn't been too much for me this week. Everything is pretty much the same from last week. I'm almost done with season 4 of the Vampire Diaries. I haven't played much Skylanders. I was just like literally 5 minutes ago playing Destiny because my friend keeps playing all these games that I've dropped, and then it makes me curious about my old file. So like first it was New Vegas, and now it's Destiny. But I can't even play it with him because he got it for Xbox One, and mine's on PS4. But I booted it up, and I also can't remember what I was doing. But it's definitely not as in-depth as New Vegas in terms of what the hell I was doing, but like there's like this hub world where you can do side missions and stuff for experience, and I'm in there, and like they have these cool things which I thought was really neat where there'll be like random encounters essentially. I mean, there's enemies everywhere, but like all of a sudden it'll be like an event and a ship will drop down and like everybody that's playing at the time can participate. So that happened before, but when I booted it up now, something I never encountered before, Brian was there when I encountered it. It was called the question mark. There's enemies that just have a question mark level, and they're, like, unbeatable, at least for me. I have no idea what that means. People who may be listening that play Destiny might understand it, but it scared the fuck out of me. In particular, there was, like, one level I was in, like, a like sewery area, and there was enemies of like low level, but I was just kind of sneaking around and didn't feel like fighting, and I saw my first question mark was just this dude, and it said like servant of the master or something, and it had question mark. I'm like, what the fuck's question mark? Let's shoot it. And then he ripped my throat out. And like every time I encounter one of those, I have no idea why they're where they are, and like I can't even do a little bit of damage to them, so I have no idea what's going on in that game, but it's pretty fun still. I wish I had sticked with it more. But anyway, that's really the only new thing that's happened. I haven't had any new purchases. All the other things from the last one-ups are the same. My only story is that when I was at Toys R Us today, they were playing the original Pokemon theme, and for a second I was a little bit scared. I had stepped through a portal to the 90s. I'm like, oh, fuck, am I trapped? Like,
that's quick, so random.
I know, right? Because it was funny because I wasn't even...
All my replaces Disney music.
Because I wasn't even thinking about it, because I was sitting there looking at the Skylanders, and I wasn't thinking. It was like in the background, and then all of a sudden, like, the background noise came into my head, and all of a sudden I hear, like, to beat the very best. I'm like, oh my god. Wait, look for something modern. Am I still in the 2000s? So that was like my only story. This isn't really a story, but I have found trap teams like Skylanders to be the most difficult to complete since the original. I have no idea why it's being so difficult on me. It's really annoying.
Like, how so?
Well, like, I just can't find anybody I need. And I only need, like, this last bit, and everybody's been having sales, and it, like, wiped people out. Like, Toys R Us is the only one that ever had sales for, like, the first three games, but, like, a week ago, Target finally had its first ever buy one 50% off sale for them that I've ever seen, and they're wiped out still. All they have left is poor Head Rush, who I feel bad for. And so they still haven't gotten anything out of the regular price, and then Best Buy had a sale, and it's like, even when I'm looking at places like Walmart that don't have a sale, it seems like nobody's stocking them. Like, they only each have, like, 7 Skylanders left. It's not quite the level of Spyro's Adventure when they had nothing, but it's like, the last couple years I've been able to, like, clean up what I needed from the game around this time of year, and it was, like, always on sale, and everything was super easy to find. But now it's like, why is it so popular all of a sudden again? Do people realize that Disney Infinity is just like a prison, and they like keep setting more limits? Like, now they enforce like the time of day you can use it, and the day of the week, and like some people that have certain names can't even use the character. It's like the Holocaust of video games. Like, I don't understand. It's so restrictive.
Like, I read that tweet that was like, it was confusing if you put Darth Maul on the pad or portal or whatever they call it in Disney Infinity, but he's not in the cutscene. I mean, what is that? So we decided you can't use Darth Maul until you get the token later on level to avoid such confusion. I'm like, oh, bullshit.
The kid's just gonna start seizing. He's playing as Darth Maul. Darth Vader's in the cutscene. He's just like, blah, blah. Just picturing a little kid seizing. It's funny. I feel bad for saying that, but I hate stuff like that. Like, it's so held back from being awesome that it's ridiculous. I mean, look how many games over the years, I'm sure you've played them, where the character, what your character looks like doesn't match up with what's going on.
All the time. It bothers me, but, like, I don't get confused.
Even in Halo, like, your guns never match. You always have the AR, no matter what guns you have. You could have, like, a hot pink gravity hammer, and as soon as the cutscene loads up, you just have that signature AR. And it's just something that happens in games. It doesn't happen quite as often anymore, but it's certainly not a reason to make your game even more restrictive. I don't know. But, yeah, so Skylanders, man.
Lego Dimension, am I right?
Hashtag Portal Master Life. Lego Dimension, I still don't know how exactly I'm going to purchase everything that I want at a time.
Either. I just want it all, I know
I'm
that.
I'm just kind of, like, putting it in the back of my mind right now while trying to figure out why I can't get these last Skylanders. But yeah, that's pretty much it for mine. This is where Kevin would probably ask me a bunch of questions about the Vampire Diaries. So, just pretend he did it.
Good.
We just leave a moment of silence for it. And now, some sort of news.
Sort of. Let's see. Pausing my Pokemon play. I'm in no way doing that right now. What are you talking about? How dare you accuse me?
We are very professional.
Okay, let's see. We did the Power Rangers thing last time. It is confirmed that the Chief from Drive is going to be that weird-looking mock thing. That's news. So he is, the oldest person to become a Kamen Rider. Trumping not last year's, but Sorcerer was 2 years ago, which trumped Skull 2 years before that, which trumped what's his Yuki, I think, from Deno. So it's just been getting progressive. They're like, how old can we go? And
that's how they do the Kamen Rider Tyson movies.
Yeah.
You look old as shit to be here.
So that's kind of, like, whatever. There is the ghost, yeah, ghost. The ghost press conference thing was yesterday or the day before, whatever, Tuesday, somewhere around there. And so we got a whole lot of, like, all of our cast information. And not really anything new with suits or anything, because we actually got to see them all in the toy catalog this time. but real quick, obviously, we know that Ghost is Takeru Tenkuji. That's a name. And he is played by a 17-year-old actor. And he doesn't really look 17, so I'm okay with that. And I don't know, we'll see how it goes, but let's see. Takeru is a cheerful and carefree young man whose father, Ryu, was a ghost hunter who died 10 years ago while with his friends Akari and Onari. Damn. a Ganma,
Japan.
Ganma being the bad guys for the show. Takeru dies in order to protect them, but is revived through mysterious power by a hermit. They also give him the ability to transform. He now must find 15 icons within 99 days in order for his wish to be granted. He is now a ghost hunter like his father. He's a ghost hunting ghosts. He is Danny Phantom.
He's going to catch them all because he's Takeru Tinkerbell or whatever his name was.
Just remember Takeru. I know you can do that.
There you go. I can do it.
Damn it, I killed the Nidoran. Anyway.
Damn it, Nidoran.
Like I said, the main monsters for this season are the Ganma, who have come through Earth through an eye-like
Ganma,
gate.
Ganma.
The Ganma do not possess any special abilities on their own, but gain their powers through objects. They're also searching for the icons, but their goal is a mystery. And so then you got Akari, which is the standardized female for the show. She studies physics in university. That's college for all you normal folk, and believe there's a scientific explanation for everything, including weird phenomena. So she's perfect in a show called Ghost. His other friend is this bald guy. He's doing his best Krillin impression. Onari is a head priest of the Tenku Temple. He respects Takeru's father a lot and watches over Takeru and his growth as a ghost hunter. While he's a serious person, he's also a funny guy and the mood maker of the group. So if we get comic relief, it's probably going to be from this guy. Even though he's a serious person, so contradictory statements.
He's got DID.
Spectre is Makoto Fukami, not related to the ones from Geki Ranger. Let's see, he also appeared in episode 10 of Neo Ultra Q, an Ultraman show. Whoopee-doo.
Whoopee Goldberg.
Makoto is the opposite of Takeru in how he's a cool and collected character who is also an expert in battle, making him stronger than Takeru. Yay, logic. He also uses the ghost driver to transform and is collecting icons, but his reasons are unknown. He's doing his real best Chase impression in this picture. He's like, he's got the leather, he's got the serious face.
Chase 2.0.
He's like, I'm trying, guys, I'm really trying.
He's gonna get his driver's license also.
And then we got this guy named Alan. I bet somewhere Anchor Crab is flipping a shit.
Hey, John Cryer had to find a job somewhere after Two and a Half Men ended. Ghost is actually a secret Two and a Half Men spinoff.
Perfect. Let's see. A character who works with the Mysterious Man, which is the bad guys. But Alan is not a subordinate. He's very chaser-like. His identity and goals are a mystery. And then finally we got the Hermit guy. Who is just dressed amazing. I love him already. He's like Mr. Miyagi crossed with, like, I don't know. I don't even know. He's like a hermit version of Mr. Miyagi. But anyway. Let's see. He's a wise hermit guiding Ghost on his quest to revive himself. He knows that Takeru has icons and says it's Takeru's destiny to fight. He's an established actor, yada, yada, yada. So that is fun, and the theme song will be sung by Kishi Don, which is a group with a bunch of pompadours. They're all doing their best Forze impressions. But speaking of Forze, the main singer for the group was the one that did Forze and O's, the Megamax theme song. So he has experience with Rider tunes. But that is about that. There was a couple other actors and stuff revealed that are playing various characters, but nothing about those characters are known yet, so nothing too crazy there. So yay, ghost stuff.
Ghost.
I don't have any comments about it because I don't really care.
Fuck ghosts. It's dead to me already. Get it? It's dead to me. It's dead to me. You hate it? No, I mean literally, he's dead to me. He's dead.
He's a ghost. But it's like I don't really care about character descriptions because, as Gaim has shown, it don't matter what they say about the characters; it's how they're represented on screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you think about the actors? I don't know; they're all Japanese.
I know it's like every year people are like, man, Power Rangers needs diversity. I'm like, look at Japan being racist, always casting white people except for the one black guy with a Taco Bell dog from Fies. Mistaji. I think my favorite press conference had to be O's for the cast reveal, just because of how colorful everybody was. In particular, you have Ankh sitting over here with his Fruit Loop arm, and then you have like Kogami. It's just like all these, like, it just looked insane.
Kogami's in a suit, and shit, I forgot her name, but the cafe owner was dressed as a pirate.
Yeah, so it was just like crazy as hell, which just made it really funny. Like it, and it's funny to think about like how crazy it seemed to me, but then like when the show happens, it all fits.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's why she's dressed as a pirate. She's not an actual pirate.
She's just crazy.
She just has a mental disorder.
Now I'm just picturing Ankh just sitting in the cafe eating popsicles, and I miss O's. I don't know why the popsicle thing specifically made me miss it. That sounds really wrong, but it's just nostalgic, you know.
I always miss O's in some way or another.
Ice treats. All right, so that's, I think, it for that. The only other real news we have is that the Die Ranger DVD cover was revealed! And just like the G-Ranger ones, it mainly features, like, the civilian cast, mm-hmm. which... Like, I thought G-Ranger's cover actually looked better. I still don't think either one looks that great, to be honest. Like, it has nothing to do with my anti-G-Ranger anything. I just think from a DVD cover standpoint, it looks like when you go to, like, an Asian shop and you see bootleg DVDs, or, like, when you go on eBay and they have somebody that's, like, recorded the episodes on DVDs and made a fake cover. I think what they should do is, I totally get the thinking behind featuring the Japanese cast is to differentiate it from Power Rangers. Mm. But at the same time, like, the pull for the casual fans is the Power Rangers. Just so, like, imagine, like, the pull for anybody that bought G-Ranger that wasn't of the main Toku fandom was, oh, lol, this is the show it came from. And so I think they need to simultaneously feature the Japanese cast and the suits. Yeah. And, like, in this one, they should have probably focused on the White Ranger. And I think that would just be a lot better because it sort of hits both notes. Like, I totally get wanting to make sure people don't confuse it with it, although that might get some accidental sales. But it just seems like too much. And finished.
There's a cat butt in front of my face right now.
I don't want to know.
Oh, shit, that was my mouth. God damn it.
Oh, God. No, it's getting dirty.
I got tail whipped in the mouth.
Use tail whip. It's super effective, apparently.
Let me tell you, Mei Mei is incredibly skilled at tail whip. But anyway, I completely agree. I understand wanting to do it to avoid confusion, particularly from people that aren't in the fandom and don't really know what Super Sentai is, and having Grandma Betty come up and go, oh, let me buy the Power Rangers for my little chitlins. And... and go, oh, it's the Power Rangers, and grab like the G-Ranger DVDs or something. And I get that. I don't think that would necessarily happen, considering the G-Ranger DVDs I've never seen on a store shelf outside of FYE. So I don't think that would actually legitimately happen. But anyway, I do wish there was a happy medium with that. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be. I think the benefit that G-Ranger had is, one, the colors weren't as crazy. And, two, like, the G-Rangers had the benefit of being dressed like idiots. And
these guys are just dressed like 90s people.
Like, they're ancient, like, tribal people, so it made sense that they looked stupid, and it was okay. The Die Rangers just ooze 90s. And so
it really
like
does look like a Step It Up cover.
They don't even look cool. They just look like a bunch of 90s dorks on the cover of a DVD. And so it doesn't nearly have the same sort of level that the Drew Ranger ones does. And I still don't like the cheesy Super Sentai font on the top.
Yeah, I think that even without the whole confusing not having the Rangers on there, the designs on both of them are pretty flat and boring. And it does, like, the Super Sentai part, you're right, it does look cheesy. It looks like the, again, like those bootleg toys you see where it's, like, a fake Power Rangers name or, like, Cooper Tentai or something where it's, like, obvious knockoff. That's what it looks like. Cooper Tentai. But, yeah, they just need to fix that up. Do they... Because I don't have the G-Ranger ones, and I didn't examine it that closely, but if they don't, I feel like they should have a little, like, sticker on there or something that says, like, footage used for such and such season. I think that might be kind of neat, too.
I don't know if they do or not. I never bought G-Ranger yet, so I actually have no idea. That's a good question. I could have looked at it when I saw it at FYE, but I was like, G-Ranger, and I just put it down.
Like, I don't think they have it, but that could be another thing that might entice, like, casuals. It'll say, you know, like, footage from the first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series, or this one in particular, because you only have the White Ranger that's identifiable. Next year, if they do Cock Ranger, it might be different from Alien Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favorite, all the casuals.
All the cops.
That's all they talk about is Alien Rangers. So yeah, that's pretty much, like, one of our big news stories was a DVD cover. That's pretty much, that sounds like the Toku community, though.
And everyone, like, flipping out about it. Oh, that's so awful. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of trash. It's upsetting that this is our discussion topic, and this is what we get in wars about.
It's so easy.
People going, it's trash, and the people going, just be thankful that we're getting DVDs. And I'm just sitting here going, can we just stop talking about this?
Stop telling me to be thankful. It's not even Thanksgiving.
Can we talk about something like that's not this, like how much I want Taco Bell? I had Taco Bell today. It was great.
I saw on Twitter you're like, Taco Bell game on point. Already got it ready.
Well, they were all talking about wanting Taco Bell, and I'm like, boom, already there.
Boom, Taco Belled. Taco Bell jammed. Damn, that does not sound good. Damn it. Shouldn't have talked about that for so long.
Just go with Taco Belled.
Speaking of Taco Bell... Now it's time for...
Superhero time!
Superhero tacos. Whoop, whoop. No,
Superhero tacos would actually be a brilliant show. I would dig that a lot.
I could fake it.
I could eat it.
I'll fake it and then eat it.
Got it.
Okay, so starting with the ninja, I suppose. That's what we always do, right? I always forget sometimes because I'm an idiot.
Yes.
Okay.
Ninja 25.
It was about Dracula.
Like, I'm...
The Dark Master.
Have you gotten this feeling? I don't know. I'm sitting here going, you know, we've been here a while, and I look, and it's like, we're only on 25.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we should be further in the show, and I don't know why.
Like, I just feel like so little has happened, too, which is strange because... Like, we've gotten, you know, toys like we always do, but it just feels like we haven't moved. It's kind of like that feeling, like 12 or so into Tokyuger where it felt like we were really stale and, like, stuck, but, like, all the time.
Yeah, like, I don't – we're usually past this hump by now. Like, the Sentai hump is usually, like, 10 through – 20 is kind of rough, but normally by 25 we're out of the rut and sort of climbing to something, and right now there's still not a single plot point in this show that is worth even thinking about,
because we just have literally all we have is the general setup of the series and the fact that Cutemon used to be student, and that's like the only sort of quote-unquote stories going on.
We've got these tiny little plot points kind of scattered around with nothing currently connecting them whatsoever.
Well, I suppose this, like, it was just kind of frustrating, which I didn't – these past few episodes I haven't hated as much, but they still haven't been stellar. And what kind of annoys me is that this little quote-unquote arc is about this, like, horror trio, and I was like, well, at least they're doing something, but it's still, like, fillery, which is weird.
Like, I know the bits about Kenji's, parents getting killed by the werewolf or something might actually do something. Yeah. But Dracula and Frankenstein were filler.
Yeah.
Like that it was they were minor character episodes to the point where I'm not even sure which character they were trying to focus on.
And like next week it doesn't even look like we're getting to the werewolf guy for Star's backstory. We're getting a summer vacation from shit to go to shit.
Like that's been these past episodes. All these episodes have been labeled summer vacation special. I'm like, these aren't specials. This is just nonsense.
This isn't even iCarly. What are you doing?
I'm like, on the plus side, your episodes have been far more tolerable for whatever reason. I can't even pinpoint the reason. I've just found them a lot more tolerable. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Takaharu is speaking less and less.
Yeah.
Like I said on Twitter, I don't think he Moitaki Todd at all in this episode, which was just absolutely fantastic.
They really have been a little bit, I guess, better-ish, but it's just like, I was just kind of annoyed that, like, last week's was fillery, and I was thinking, well, maybe next week's will be better because maybe we're entering an arc with this, and then this one was, like, so, like, it had so many silly little moments, like, didn't he, like, summon the dumplings or something and twist tornado them at him? That's a Ghost Ager term, but you know what I mean? That's a really random reference to make, too, for me, but, there's just so many weird moments like that. Like, there were some little things that made me laugh. Like, Sentai loves to do its cross-dressing, but I don't know why I just laughed when I saw them dressed up as girls. I don't know why. This one just got me for some reason. Because I don't know why I didn't expect them to be there in that form, but because Inukasumi was there, I'm like, okay, she's going to look after her. And then they walk in, and they're just off there in drag. Like, the looks on their faces when they were caught just cracked me up. Yeah. So that was kind of funny. And
I like how into it Yakuma was. He was, like, super into it. He was like, man, we didn't even get to show off our skills. I mean what?
I mean, I don't even care. Let's go watch, you know, lawnmower TV or something. I do think it was funny, again, how Kasumi, like, knew what was going on right away. Like, yeah, this is fucked up. No one would ever hire
Fuka. The show's not even hiding it. The show's like, this is your only person that is competent on this show. Look at how awesome she is.
What was kind of funny about it, too, is that, like, there's been many toku episodes like this in history of all shows where they're, like, set up like this and then everyone's fooled. And it almost was like she was breaking the fourth wall in a way by debunking it within, like, the first minute. Like, there wasn't even a second for, like, any idiot audience members to not know this was a trap. Like, she was like, yeah, we got this. She did sort of fall for that, you know, follow the guy upstairs thing, but she didn't really because he wasn't trying to trap anybody. He just unsuccessfully ran up there for a phone. I don't know why he was running upstairs, but he failed. But I just still think that's pretty funny that she's just, like, pretty much showing everyone up and just debunked an entire Sentai plot within the first minute. Let's see, what else happened? They didn't even use Vervain, Vampire Diaries reference, something about Caroline. They killed Dracula. Yeah, there wasn't really that much else. There was those couple little funny bits, and they debunked it. And I do like that this is, like, a really small thing, but that they actually took the guy out themselves. Star, Fuka, and Takaharu, instead of, like, I hate when Sentai or PR does that thing where they're like, oh, we need everybody because we're so impotent without five of us. I hate when they do that. And I like that they actually just took him out and then healed everybody. But that was really about it. I'm very disappointed that next week is going to be what looks really dumb. And I don't think it's going to end up being, what was it, Gaim that did that? Where I'm like, oh, next week looks fillery. And then someone died in the next episode.
Yeah.
It's like the Netflix descriptions for Vampire Diaries that makes it sound like a teen drama. And then all of a sudden shit gets real. I guess it is a teen drama. You know what I mean? But yeah, because I was thinking, well, at least if these two are fillery, even if the next one is like the ninja dumb, at least there'll be something going on with Star. But it looks like we'll have to wait at least another episode and get something with that.
Yeah.
What's that? Recolor Ichibanto about?
Right. I don't even remember if I actually retweeted it, but I seen the picture somewhere on Twitter. It wasn't like a toys catalog, though. It was it was like the logo and then a picture of the weapon.
Yeah, and it was kind of pixelated.
And it was really pixelated, and it's apparently a Geki Atsu Banto, whatever. I don't know what the hell it's called. But it's the Geki Atsu Daio colored version of the Ichibanto. And
oh, based on the new Megazord.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know anything else about that. I'm not even 100% sure if it's real or not.
So. Yeah, that's why I didn't bring it up before. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I've absolutely no idea if it's real or not. It could be, because Ninja just has absolutely nothing else going on until after. I mean, after Geki Atsu Daio comes out, like after that hits, it's done.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're gonna do if anything, but we'll see. I don't really have any sort of desire for another Ichibanto.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be getting any more Rangers either. I kind of hope if they do have a Ninja return special, we get another Ranger, just because I really like the Ninja designs and I'd like to see what they do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give us another one to use, maybe. I don't know if we would even use Tokyo Nanago if we do Tokyuger. But
there's whatever. Like zero footage for it if they do. It's just because I want to make a toy.
Yeah. But it's like with the new people, you never know what they could do. Like, mm-hmm. It would be neat if they did, just to get a figure of it. That's the thing. Like, Japan, I mean, they have, like, the Kamen Rider figure arts and stuff, but, like, in terms of their main toy lines, they are not about figures. Like, we are all about figures. Like,
I know. Toy That's why I love us.
Is all figures for, like, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Marvel, DC, like, everything is figures. And it's so upsetting with Japan when we don't get stuff. Like, if we don't get Tokyuger, I'll never have a proper scale figure for, like, the girls or for Rokugo or Nanago. And, like, if we don't do Ninja, the same thing. I kind of want a 5-inch Star Ninja figure. It's like all these things you don't get. It's kind of annoying, and it's a funny culture thing.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like anytime Sentai tries to do figures, it's like, nope. Yeah, we're done after these first couple.
And, like, I don't understand why. Still, like, I honestly want to know why people will buy Rider figure arts, but, like, the Sentai ones didn't do well. Like, I know Rider's a bit more popular, but still, it's just, like, it's frustrating because I wanted to finish off some of those teams. Like, come on, we just need two Bulkhangers. I mean, three technically, but the two I'll be happy with. Just make it silver and pink and just leave yellow out or something. Piss me off. I don't know. But it's frustrating, like, and you can't really know things. Because, you know, I don't know who to ask. Brian, you have contacts over there. Just tell them to do everything.
Okay.
Tell them to drop everything they're doing right now and just answer all of our questions.
Everything. Do it now.
Exactly. Just tell your friend Constantine to bring Sarah back and then go over and get our questions done. This is the same guy, I'm convinced. Speaking of Sarah, Kevin still needs me to send me my autograph.
Seriously. Oh my God, really?
It's been almost a year. Except not, but still, it feels like it. Anyway, he's going to give it to me at the next Morphicon I go to when my corpse is sent there. That got creepy. Anyway, speaking of corpses, Drive. I think it's time to move on to Drive.
Sounds accurate. She was kind of a corpse.
Pretty much. This was a good episode, for sure. That's it. All right, so now Power Rangers. No, but it was definitely a good episode. There was that very... It's always hard to watch any kind of scene, even though, like, it was very low level, like dog being hurt. Like, it was pretty much,
it's, you know, still just got
told
me.
It was told to just lie down. And then when they have the whimpering noises, like, I cannot watch that. Like, I can watch people getting beaten up. I'm like, get popcorn. And, like, anytime an animal's, like, even remotely in danger, I'm like, don't even show it to me. I can't even look at it. And, like, I saw your tweet about it, and I wasn't sure the context. I was worried the dog was going to die in the episode. I was thankful it was a flashback of it getting healed. Like, I was waiting for a medic to be like, oh, I get Choshinka by killing the dog. I was like, oh my God, she's going to kill it.
If they killed the dog, I probably would just quit Drive.
I would like, just
quit. Nope, Toku. Can't. Nope,
Toku
done.
Be done.
Nope.
So, I was
done
glad.
With Toku. I'm just gonna do Pokemon and Transformers. I'm done. Yeah, so
I was glad it didn't end up like that. But it was a very good episode for Medic. I liked going into her whole backstory, and it was very tragic the way her mind got wiped by Bonno and just kept showing how ruthless Bonno is, too.
like, it was kind of tragic at first, just because you learn that she basically corrupted herself because of what her power is.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's really unfortunate. You're actually a good person that just got corrupted by your own ability, or a side effect of your own ability, rather. And then yeah. Bono comes in and is like, you're my puppet now. And now you're like, that's even more unfortunate.
Oh. That sounds really dramatic. That's even more unfortunate. What a pickle we are in. How are we going to get out of this conundrum? God, blimey. Got shot by a Dalek.
How will we save her this time?
We just get more British as the bit goes on.
No, you're just going to stand there and repeat how you do it all for heart.
Oh, man. Now you sound like you're from Hogwarts for some reason. Like, it's a Hogwarts British accent. That's a region.
Okay.
But I don't even remember what we started with, what we were talking about.
We were talking about the dog.
Don't even bring it back. But I think it's really interesting that, you know, throughout the series, the Roymudes, like, the main group, haven't necessarily been emotionless or anything, but it's definitely, like, in the second half, I really like that they really showed them more as characters. Mm-hmm. I think Heart and Medic more so. Brain is still kind of just a funny comic relief dude.
Yeah, he had a lot of funny faces throughout.
His reaction when Tridoron almost hit him was just great. Oh, that was good. But I just think it's really – I love when we have villains like that that are actually, you know, not like, you know, twirling their mustache, I'm going to destroy the city with my ray type deal. They're actually very more relatable in certain ways. And I like that in this last half we've kind of honed in on that more for the Roymudes. And then you have someone like Bono that's just completely fucked up. And, like, it makes you feel sorry for Medic and for Heart too. Like – my heart broke for Heart.
I know, right?
Well, because, like, dude, the dude's been through a lot. I almost want him to just win and rule humanity with his Choshinka angry penis form. Because, like, he was tortured by Bono because of how he made him look. And then the Roymude he cares about most was essentially wiped. And he's just been through so much shit. And, like, even Brain had that moment at the end where he shed a single brain tear over Medic, which I thought was interesting considering how they've had this sort of rivalry. Like, he's like having the I will remember you moment of her just abusing him and like smacking him as a little 003, not a 300.
That was the first time I actually felt bad for Brain, and it was a really nice scene in general, because it's like, I hate this bitch, but we're friends or something like that. It was some cheesy ass shit, but I don't lie. Yeah. I just thought it was really touching.
Yeah. It was well done, and it was like unexpected, but at the same time it didn't really feel forced, which was kind of nice. And I think other events that happened in this episode, we ended on a cliffhanger of, is Chase going to ask Kiriko out? And Drive's like eagerly awaiting for the answer. And I don't know why, but it cracked me up, like, when they show, like, one of the very last scenes when they go, Panda Chase, Panda Kiriko. When they pan to him, they make the little signal bike noise that, like, it just, like, undercuts everything, which I just think was kind of funny. So that's a thing, because we've been kind of leading towards Chase having emotions with that, and there's people theorizing that that'll lead to his ultimate evolution. Whereas I don't know, like, would he get a Roymude form? Would Chase go gold? Would both go gold? Would he just turn into gold member? Would Mike Myers come in and recast Chase? I don't know what that would look like.
I could go for a Golden Chase suit. I think that'd be cool.
It would be pretty cool. Like a final battle, Golden Chase versus Golden Drive. Tamari just watches eating donuts in the car with Kiriko.
I'm game. Let's do it. Talking a little bit about what we were talking about earlier, I really like how this show has been able to create incredibly sympathetic villains outside of Bono. Like, they wrote Bono to be the asshole of all assholes.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, these other assholes who you thought were mean are just sort of flawed, almost flawed humans. Yeah. Really. And I mean, you start feeling bad for Medic, and you start feeling bad for Brain, and you already feel bad for Heart. And I'm like, I really can't root against these guys. I can root against Bono. Can we all just unite and kill him? It'll be great.
Exactly. And like, what I like about that is so unexpected.
Even Hart was like, Brainio, get the fuck out. Run. Don't let this guy get what he wants. It'll be great.
If you just put on a sick mask, you'll blend in with all of Japan. Just do
it. It's true.
They're an entire society of monks. They're just like, not like, you know, all, but like, you know, you'll thank me later. Don't touch me with germs, monks. Like, their entire society of go to the emergency room if you have a cold. Well, I was like really weird to start. I was about to start rapping too. And it all kind of started, I guess you could say, with Chase in the beginning of the series, with him showing, you know, human sides. And I think that if they would have done things better in the first half, that could have bridged a lot nicer to the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have little moments. Like, they showed a couple times how Hart kind of was friends with Chase, and, you know, he let him go and stuff like that. So, but I think that there's still a good, like, storyline track there with it starting with him and then going to these guys, but it could have been flowed together better. But still, it's definitely good in the second half. And something else, I probably mentioned it before, but what I really like about what the second half has done is they've done a really good job of, if they have a case of the week, of tying it into the story, or at least not making it seem like it's just a completely separate thing that has nothing to do with it. Like, this week's was obviously all about Medic's person, and it did a good job of being about the main storyline, but also having that procedural feel to it. And you have that twist of that boyfriend being a twisted fuck.
Oh yeah, I forgot, like, about him.
He had like a ballerina embezzlement scheme. It sounds like a really lame villain motivation. Like, I don't know, like, his plan was to essentially silence her by killing her in very public ways. Like, twice. Like, first he would hit and run her and then leave it, and then this time he was just going to dump her down some stairs and then leave her. And
more
so,
importantly, he almost killed the dog, which is just irredeemable.
That's way worse. Number one worse, the dog. Number two, the roses she was holding. Number three, her. Just kidding. But then Wataru can just use those to make Bloody Rose, so it all works. See? Yeah,
it's fine.
It's all connected to Wataru and his varnishes. Wataru actually looks surprisingly like Brain in the beginning of this episode, at the beginning of Kiva, when he just kind of went around being all sheepish.
That is true.
But yeah, it was a very good episode all around, and next week looks interesting because we're going to be getting Evil Crim, so it looks like some of the movie stuff is crossing over, so better hit the Wikipedia before the next episode.
Yeah, I still don't even know, like, the plot of that movie, like, whatsoever.
Yeah, I need to, hopefully there's something to check out, but I've said it multiple times, but I'm really looking forward to when that movie gets here, because, like, all the previews for it look really good. Like, last year's was the soccer movie, so I think it's funny that, like, while I'm definitely enjoying Drive now, like, I was obviously way more into Gaim, but I wasn't really looking forward to the movie as much as I am Drive's. Although Gaim's movie ended up being okay.
Yeah, it was alright. It wasn't super, but
yeah, like, the soccer thing wasn't, I mean, I still thought it was dumb, but I mean, it wasn't as stupid as I thought it was going to be the way it was told. But still, I just think it's kind of funny the way that happens sometimes. Kind of like how I liked Kyuger as a series better than Tokyuger, but I thought the Returns movie was, like, way better.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of
just fact.
Yeah, it's just funny the way it flip-flops sometimes. All right, I think that's about it for Drive, unless you have anything else to say.
No, I'm pretty good.
Shut up and stop, Drive.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the triumphant return until we take a hiatus next week because of early online releases of
Dino Trends Discussions with Juki and everyone else.
Digimon just Forever. Just Awesome. Juki and Just Awesome. Just that other guy. Understudy. So yeah, Dino Charge is obviously back. We got the early episode release as they usually do when they premiere or come back. So next week, we won't be talking about it because next week episode is this week's. So, but after that, we'll be talking about it, and we're doing, you know, the English airings. We're not going to be speaking French or whatever they speak in Latin America.
Apparently, like, Latin America just suddenly stopped and like France is supposed to stop after like 16 or something. I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, Saban got him to stop. Hail Saban. I don't know exactly. I think the idea of a company telling these other like foreign distributors that, oh, you have to stop because, you know, we're not there yet is just absolutely absurd.
Stop, we're losing the race. We need to run ahead.
Like, I feel like one of the only people in the fandom that actually, like, thinks it's absurd. It's an absurd idea to go, you can't air this because we're not there yet. Like, that's just so stupid. I mean, you give the property to these foreign distributors to air the show in their countries. If they air it quicker than you, well, get with it or something. I don't go up
that
to them
and go,
that
is not my job.
Don't go up to them and go, you can't do this. It's really fucking stupid. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Just because they're mad, the episodes are only available in Latin America. You can't even get Peruvian puff peppers there. That's South America. So, I think it's pretty dumb. Like, obviously, if I had a choice, we would get everything first, and then it would be done. But since it's happening, I'm not that upset about it anymore because it's already happened for years now. And sometimes that just happens with shows or even movies. Other places got the Avengers first.
I know. So
it's just something that happens. And but people are like complaining about spoilers, but it's hard to avoid spoilers on the internet anyway.
Yeah, I do think I hate that a lot. Like, don't post spoilers. I'm like, well, it's the fucking internet, guys.
And what's annoying is that, like, the same people that are like, I don't want to see that, are, like, the same people that are, like, clamoring for Dinotarge details all the time and, like, reading every episode summary and tweet and, like, looking at everyone's Instagram photos for, like, a background corner. It's like, so you hunt for spoilers, but then when the spoilers are here, you run? It's just really dumb. And I can't even believe people were, like, outraged over seeing the actor for Gold. Like, somebody literally said, I can't believe I know what he looks like. It's just a casting thing. Like, it's like they cast somebody for Arrow. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe they told me who they're cast for Damian Dark. What a spoiler. Like, it'd be different if it was like a Gold Ranger from Zeo situation where there's this ongoing mystery that, like, you're following and then they spoil it. But this is like, oh my god, I can't believe this guy I've never seen before in my life is Gold. I can't even believe they spoiled that. I think that's kind of insane to be upset over something like that.
How dare they?
Like, I've never been wanted to be surprised by the way someone's face looked. it just seems silly.
I agree completely, especially with that.
Oh, people, why do you have to be the worst? Just stop. But this episode did not have Gold in it. It led up to him. I mean, he technically could be in it if he's in Fury. So he was in it, but you couldn't see him.
Got it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Still shocked the tongues of our ghost amorphers didn't just get flung out.
But it wasn't bad.
It was a very okay kind of, almost, it was fillery.
Yeah, it was fillery. There was bits that were important, like Fury charging the Terra Charger and getting the Terra Zord, and that's about it. Like, there was a point where I feel like Kendall just wanted to sacrifice everybody.
Well, you know what? I totally agreed with that, though. Like, they should have stopped him from getting the Zord. I think that should have been the priority.
My thing was, like, how did the building get that cold? Well, like, a thermostat wouldn't make it get that cold.
Like, cartoon, like, icicle boogers cold.
Like, Puzzler doesn't have ice abilities. All he did was, like, turn the thermostat down. I'm like, the thermostat can't cause everything to become an Arctic, like, room. It can't make any room become a walk-in fridge. That's not how thermostats work.
You know what got me was that one of Chase's detours was a door. And sure, it was at a high building, but all you have to do is morph and jump. I'm sure you could land it in a morph suit. Or you morph, call your Zord, and then jump on top of the Zord. There's like a million ways he could have tackled that. He could have gotten out. Like, come on, son. Like, that was just dumb. Like,
he's a pussy.
I get the lesson they were trying to teach, but I actually agreed that he should have gone after him instead, because I think that Fury getting his hands on a Zord was more dangerous than his friends being cold for five more minutes.
Not to mention he was right there. He could have just tackled Fury. Like,
exactly.
Fury walked past him. Why didn't he trip him?
He had his sword that he was threatening Puzzler with. He could have just stabbed him. Then he would have stabbed the, you know, actor that he knew the face of now. Like, thanks for spoiling me. Now you're dead. But, I think that could have been handled different. It kind of reminds me of the episode last before this where Tyler was like 3 seconds away from finding out an answer about his dad. But they're like, oh no, again with the impotent thing. We're so impotent, we can't defeat him without you. And so, like, he could have just given Tyler like 30 more seconds, boom, found out about his dad, then go kill the monster. I hate random dumb PR stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, it was still a decent episode. It was basically filler. I do like how they are sort of, you know, doing a slow build for the Gold Ranger stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel a bit funny though, in some respect, that like we started that storyline last time and then it just seemed weird that he got the Zord in this episode that felt fillery. Like, it felt like such an add-on. I almost would have rather them, you know, Fury taken off with a charger and then finished Puzzler off and then have open up next time with him with the Zord. Because the fact that it just kind of flew around and attacked him a bit, and then he's like, oh, fuck, ran out of juice, like right after that dramatic recharging and left, it felt very tacked on for that last bit.
I also like how the charger, like, miraculously turned black.
Yeah, it was really dirty inside. The Terra Zord, who also lives in the volcano. Remember we visited that volcano when we were in California? It was a huge tourist attraction. There's just a volcano right around the corner.
It was great.
Also, where did the Dinotaur Zords come from? They still haven't answered that.
It just kind of came from somewhere.
Like, I don't know if they'll ever answer that. I hope they do. Everyone's too busy, like, riding the Chip Dick to ask him that question, apparently. Like, I still want to know how the Dinotaur powers work. Like, as soon as they bonded with the dinosaurs, did they come up with a fully formed ranger system of weapons based on that dinosaur? Or did Keeper and Kendall make them later? Like, these are the types of questions I want to know.
These are the important, hard-hitting questions.
Not what does Nintendo DS Gold Ranger look like. I want to know this. Like, especially, even if they never explain the powers, I can just assume that the Energem just create powers or something. But I want to know where the Zords come from, because it's confusing since he gave them to those specific dinosaurs, but they were supposed to be dead since he literally dug an Energem out of its dead body. So I don't know. I want to know. I got to know.
Maybe the Energem creates it based upon the dinosaur that it died with.
And it just randomly pops up somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. It just seems like such a big question to leave hanging. At least for me, apparently.
It makes just as much sense as anything else.
At least Gosei said, because of your teamwork, you get this Zord. Jeez, go. At least it could have been like, because of your teamwork, Terrazor lives. What else happened? When did Riley get an intersect? That's what I wanted.
I know. Like, he's sitting there just like, right triangles and 90 degrees, hypotenuse,
just making up shit.
Circumference, radius, pie.
Hippopotamus. Cake. Like,
let me flick this marble, right in the vent. Perfect.
That was pretty lame.
I know that vent leads here, that vent leads here, that vent leads there, and that vent leads there. Okay, friends, come hither.
Everyone's got really weird, like, British things within this,
like,
week.
It was funny because, like, Riley's always been shown to be, like, a very, like, straight-laced person, but he's never really shown to be very intellectual.
Yeah, I don't think they ever did this Flash thing up until now.
Because, like, he's always been very hardcore and straightforward, and we need to just kind of figure everything out. And now it's, like, the super logical genius.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere, especially with, like, the animations and stuff.
The animations is what got me.
Because it really did make it seem like an intersect. Like, a really slow intersect that can only do vent math. There's also, this is no joke, there was a subplot about Coda being hungry throughout the whole episode.
I was more invested in that, honestly. I really wanted him to get that cookie.
And then, of course, you don't want to teach kids that he could probably just punch through that.
I know.
Or, like, morph and blast it, or turn it upside down, anything. That's probably what I would have done, especially since it was abandoned. And then as he's jumping up, he sees that the boxes of cookies are in there. And I would have gone back for the cookies. When your friends need you, cookies first. Everyone knows this. You just pocket all the cookies and then you morph and go help them. I did think it was a nice little detail that while everyone else is like shivering and stuff, Coda really wasn't affected, presumably because of, you know, the time he lived in.
Yeah.
Like, they showed like the cold around him and stuff, but he was just all about that cookie. So I thought that was I'm pretty sure it was intentional, but if it wasn't, I still like to think it was, considering he lived in like Ice Age times, you know. Yeah. He lived with Ray Romano and the other people that voiced the people in Ice Age. whoever voiced the Sabretooth Tiger. Who does? I don't know.
Dennis Leary?
Yeah, that one. And then, you know, the sloth. His voice. The guy in the thing. But yeah, Ice Age 2, Meltdown. Ice Age 5, the cookies. So that was a nice little touch. I don't think there's too much else, because they were just trapped. Puzzler happened. Next time, more Terra stuff will happen. Is Gold next episode? No, it's like the hinting. Gold.
No, it's not his actual name. Actors in a painting or something.
Yeah. That was the spoiler, too? Yeah. I didn't even know. Oh, my God. Are you for real, people? Okay, so, like, next week is the next tease for Gold. Like, we're taking the slow road to Gold.
I think our Gold is premiering after Dino Charger's, or Curiager's Gold. Like, wasn't Uchi in, like, episode, like, 9 or something?
I don't know. It was more early on, but there definitely wasn't as much, feel as much build-up as we're getting. Although, that's kind of the way it usually is. Like, debut episodes for Ranger and Sentai are like the one episode and it's done. And we've done that too, but there's always a little bit more build up in most cases. Even with like last year with Silver, we had like the full on two-parter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like foreshadowed a bunch, but you still had like the first episode with them running around, you know, with Silver taking out all these people and they couldn't figure out who he was. And meanwhile, you have Guy just being like, "Go, Guy Silva!" So that's kind of typical, but it definitely feels like a slower burn for sure. And then it's like not too long after that we'll be eating Graphite. Don't want to spoil his face.
All right.
But yeah, I don't have too much else to say about it.
It was an episode.
It was an episode. I liked it. All right. So yeah, no discussion next week, but it'll be back after that. And I think it pretty much runs straight through, I think, for, except for the Worldwide Day of Play, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Day. So make sure on that day you play lots of video games inside where it's cool. Although it'll be in the fall, so I don't know if it'll be as warm. But bottom line is stay inside, kids. There's a bunch of Jareds outside, so. I'm just talking about Daishi. I mean, God. Where'd you think I was going? All right, now it's time for laughter.
Ramble time.
What is it time for? I left my watch at home. So, Pokemon was the Mega Evolution special instead of a regular episode this week.
Was it good?
Did you not watch it either?
When they do these Mega Evolution specials, it doesn't count on the DVR as an episode of Pokemon. And so I forget to set the DVR, and I had all intention to go download it before we recorded this, but I forgot.
It was, like, there's not too much to talk about. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but just because there's just a little bit more, not seriousness, but a little bit more plot going on, it is a little more entertaining than an average episode. And it's funny, though, because I forgot, like, what happened in the last ones. Like, I'm like, wait, who are you? What happened? Like, it just seems like it's been so long between them, but... I was thinking about when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, maybe this is why they don't focus on Mega Evolution so much in the main series. But then I remember they do. So I just think it's kind of a funny choice. Mm-hmm. And then I was also thinking of how it's weird that they – not really weird that they did these, but that they translated these and we never did – they never translated the didn't Dawn have like a Returns episode?
Brock and I think Dawn both did.
Yeah, they both had like Returns episodes, and I thought that was weird that we never translated those.
Yeah.
Because they would have fit like perfectly, I think, in something like this where, sure, Mega Evolution specials are built into the airing both places, but I wouldn't have been mad if they, you know, sandwiched that in between the airing schedule or done like – didn't they have like some sort of weird like hour event when it came back. Like, there was a weird gap, and then they had, like, two new episodes in a row or something.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
Like, they should have just done that here and been like, oh, special hour, and then do, like, whatever episode's supposed to air, and then, like, the Brock special. Now it's too late, and it would be really weird, because it was, like, Diamond and Pearl and, like, Black and White era stuff. So it would seem really weird to have, like, following Ash, and then all of a sudden you're following Dawn for an episode. So it would be too weird now, but I still would have liked to seen them get translated. Maybe, like, on a DVD or something. Maybe when they release it on DVD.
Maybe.
But I was just thinking about that when I was watching this. Especially since we did Chronicles. Remember Chronicles?
Chronicles was fun. I liked Chronicles.
That wasn't a terrible idea. I kind of wish they would do that again. I like the idea of focusing on random characters throughout the series and that kind of cool beginning with that Jimmy character. It's kind of like almost like a what if we had just changed protagonists every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be neat if they would bring that back. I don't think they will, but that's Pokemon. Unfortunately, sorry, Kiefer and whoever else, but no Turtles this week because Brian didn't watch it. I still didn't watch it, and the other one's gone. He's gone. We know what happened. So we'll have to wait again. But I think it's on hiatus after this week, so maybe.
Is it again?
I don't remember. Kiefer always posts it, and then I forget. But if it is on a hiatus, then you can look forward to next week, then maybe talking about it. Probably, maybe. But probably not. But anyway, did you watch Falling Skies, though?
Yes.
Okay. Falling Skies. Jan got fired again, replaced by Ryan Howard as the new evil general. This was a good episode. I did enjoy this episode. I thought there were some good moments in it, but I still do feel it was a bit of repeat business in a lot of ways. I did like the last moments where it looked like they were going to be executed, and I really liked Anne's speech. And I liked that it just kind of brought the spirit of what the Second Mass is up, because I really do like the Second Mass as a group. I think they're like a really inspiring group of like post-apocalyptic soldiers. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a nice moment. And there were some good moments throughout the episode with that, but I couldn't figure out really what purpose the storyline served other than they have this military base as their base. And the fact that they have more soldiers, which could have more easily been accomplished by them just arriving and being like, hey, look, we're humans. Let's be friends, gather them, and then move on with the plot instead of staying here for like three episodes being attacked by soldiers.
Yeah.
like in any other season, like I said, I wouldn't be as upset, but it's like the final season and these moments I feel need to be spent on bigger things. And I feel like this could have just been, you know, a gathering and then nothing more than that. And they really didn't even amount to much in the main plot. I mean, all we really found out is that Jan was some sort of weird, like, hybrid, but
I didn't understand. Like, it was some sort of weird, like, robot thing.
Yeah, she was like an experiment of, like, I couldn't tell whether she's a clone or whether they brainwashed her or whether she, I don't know. She was something. But it didn't even accomplish anything to the main plot other than she was taken over, and she was the only one. Like, everyone else was either following her orders, and they were mainly questioning him, except for that one asshole guy that wasn't even, like, possessed or anything. He was just a dick. So, like, it didn't really do anything. And I thought that making her have a connection with Weaver just seemed kind of forced. It didn't really add anything. Like, if she had been saved or something, or they wanted to give him some sort of end game, which also wouldn't have been necessary, but still, it didn't feel necessary to give them more of a conflict.
Yeah.
Even just making him old friends would have been fine, but without the romance, just kind of seemed unnecessary. It seems like we might have finally solved the weird love triangle thing with maybe Hal and Maggie just getting back together and we can just leave it alone. That would be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
just because that's really all you need to do. Just leave it alone after that. We don't need any more of that. I forgot. There was one other asshole at the camp, which was Anne's patient, which is a total freaking
little fuck.
He's a little traitor.
He's a traitor. And then he finds Pope. Like, hold on. Okay, hold on. Jumping to that. Did he know Pope beforehand, or did he just happen to stumble upon Pope?
I think he just stumbled upon Pope. Yeah, as you do. Like, you know, I always run into the Pope. I'm like, yo, what's up?
Which funny, because I was sitting here going, what the fuck happened to Pope?
Well, I think what I think is funny is that obviously he ran into, like, one of his men that brought him to Anthony. He brought him to Pope. But what I think is funny is that, like, how did he reveal he knew that Tom Mason was alive?
I don't know. That's, like, what confused me. That's what made me think he might have known Pope. Like, yeah. I didn't understand, like, does that just come up in conversation?
Yeah, like freeze, Tom Mason's alive. What? That's what I'm going to say if I'm ever held at gunpoint. Just scream, Tom Mason's alive. Makes sense. See what happens.
That's what I would do.
So that was like a missing link scene. I guess I imagine he's like, well, what the fuck are you doing out here? And he'd be like, man, this dick Tom Mason done took over our camp. And he's like, oh, man, I know that dick. I know a guy that wants to kill that dick. And how did Pope get such a Mad Max crew together so fast?
I don't know.
Like, he had the few people that followed him and then those, like, stragglers he picked off, but he's got, like, this full-on, like, he, like, traveled to biker bars and just got people to fight. Again, like, I hate to sound like a broken record, but this storyline with him would have been great last season or the season before, but it's so close to the end that I just don't care. And how is he alive? Like, why was there a question that Mason was alive? Because he was picked up by a bug. And so, you know, Mason always lives anyway. So, like, there was much more a possibility of him being alive from Pope's perspective than Pope, who was shot in the stomach. Now he's just sitting there, you know, drinking a beer, eating popcorn, like nothing happens. And he doesn't even have a doctor or a fake doctor. So I don't know how he's even still alive. And I couldn't have worded it better myself, but like the IGN review said, like, it seems weird that we still have this human foe to face off with when we still have yet to tackle the Ishveni, who have kind of felt like a secondary player in this season.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where the show is right now. We're two episodes away and, like, we're nowhere. I don't know.
We're heading to DC, and that's apparently where everything's going to go down. But, like, they had the perfect setup, too, like, three episodes ago to finish the Pope stuff. Because he had Tom, what's his name? Pee Wee Baby Lad.
Hal.
Hal, yes. I almost called him Jason. It's like Mason, but with a J. Hal. He had Hal, and I kind of assumed that he would find him early on in the episode, and they'd have some really good final Pope and Tom scenes, and then he would, like, kill him, or Pope would, I don't know, apologize or leave or something. They could have resolved that three episodes ago, and I would have been perfectly happy with it. But now it's, and then he's all of a sudden missing and comes back. It's kind of awkwardly disjointed. And I kind of hoped that this season was going to be like them just going around and destroying all these Ishveni camps, and it was going to feel like the final battle and the cleanup, because especially after how epic last season's end was, where they're like, we're going to blow up the moon, and then they're going to be weakened, and then they start off the season, they're like, find your warrior, fight, and we'll finish them off, and then nothing happened, and then they went to have tea at a farm. And it'll be very interesting to see how they finish it off, but it definitely didn't play out the way I thought it was, and I think it's funny that, like, earlier seasons felt like higher stakes.
They were, more or less, honestly. Like, this is supposed to be the final thing, and like you said, we're sitting here sipping tea and fighting with each other. It's really pointless.
And with storylines that, like, it's a greatest hits thing that really don't amount to anything. If they had more episodes, it would be totally acceptable. Like, we're on, what, it's like 8 of a 10 season. If this was a 20-episode season, it would be totally acceptable. Not totally, but we know that we have the second half, and I'm like, okay, I get it. We're spending time on Pope. We still have 10 episodes left. But, yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. We got two more weeks of that. Next week, Fear the Walking Dead premieres, and we'll actually be talking about that. So
yep. I'll probably sound like a total noob, but
it's you know, it's a prequel, but, and it'll probably, I'm sure, be some references, but I from what I understand, you don't have to even have seen the other show.
If so there's references, just fill me in.
I will. I might even miss them. I miss stuff sometimes. Okay. All the time.
Unreliable.
But yeah, pretty much. But it's pretty much totally unrelated. I don't think anybody's even remotely connected to anybody from the core series. And I think it'll be a while before they would do anything at all. I don't even think they'll cross over at all. I'm not sure, but yeah, so you'll be fine with that. And we're only like a month and a half out from like Ramble Time just exploding to like all these shows again.
It'll be good.
It will be. All right, that concludes. Like, that's more like Ramblet Time. This is before we move on to TTMF. I forgot to put this in my one-ups, but I did start watching Steven Universe.
Are you further than me? You better not be further than me.
I don't know, because the site I'm watching it on splits the two episodes that are part of an episode up.
Yeah.
So it makes it seem more daunting than it is when you're just looking at the screen. But I think almost halfway over the first season.
Okay, where I think we're at like the same spot.
I just finished the episode where like him and Lars got attacked by some moss or something.
Yeah, we're like at the same exact spot.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, so I do like how the site splits it up like that though, because like if I only have a certain amount of time, like earlier before I was playing Destiny, I had to load updates for the PlayStation and for Destiny because I hadn't played it in months, and I had 10-minute waiting time, and I was like perfect to watch a half episode. Yeah. So I kind of dig that. It feels kind of weird though, just because, you know, I've watched cartoons like that all my life, and I'm used to just watching both installments at once. But it's still kind of nice. Yeah, and
my end code's divided up too, so yeah, it's really nice.
And it makes it seem like the season's way longer than it is. It's like episode 52. I'm like, bitch, that's like 20. But it is enjoyable. I haven't hit that point where like everyone like fawns over it and thinks it's like amazing.
Yeah,
but
I'm not there enjoyable. Yet either. I don't hate it, and no. I'm not bored. But like you said, you're not at that point where I don't get the hype.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hopefully like, that gets there. Maybe it's season two sort of thing. I don't know.
It couldn't have been like, I remember Avatar the first season. I was like, all right, when does this get amazing? And it took a while for that. Partly, I think, because of the hype kind of raises your expectations a bit too much. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I'm still going to finish it out. I just don't think it's enjoyable. And I'll probably check out Gravity Falls after that. I started watching it and like stopped after three episodes because I got distracted. And I've seen occasional bits here and there. And I do like that a bit more. Mainly, I thought it was funnier and I thought there was more going on. I do think that this is like a really imaginative show.
Yeah, for sure.
Both of them. Like, I have to say, like, in general, we always talk about this, that kids have it better, but they really do. Like, the imaginative stuff in kids shows, like, it goes far beyond any 90s kids shows. Like, there's definitely some gems of cartoons from certain eras, but like as a whole, stuff is so much better now, and shows like Steven Universe or Gravity Falls or like Adventure Time are just so creative, partly because I think people are just totally high when they do Adventure Time, but still, like, the creativity is like so much more. But yeah, I am still liking it. I have hit a couple episodes that I quite enjoyed in this last little batch I watched. Like, I liked the one where he was turning old progressively. Mm-hmm. It was kind of dark in a way and entertaining. And there was another one. God, I just watched it. I can't think of it. Because I just watched the Moss one and then the old one. And I don't know. But there was a couple in the more recent ones that I really quite liked. I liked the one where they fused into Opal for the first time.
Opal's great.
Gale's best friend. Or not Gale's best friend. It's like, that's the wrong reference, but yeah, so that was a good episode. I liked it. And one thing I was confused about was I didn't think the show was like serialized or anything, but based on the premise, I thought it had a little bit more, which it does. It has more of a action sort of mythology going on than most cartoons. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was even more than that. So like the first episode was that typical, you know, cold open, jumps you right in, and I thought it wasn't going to do that. And I mistakenly thought that, oh, I saw this thing on the side that said pilot. I'm like, oh, they did one where it explains it. And it doesn't. It's just like the original pilot.
Yeah, it's just an alternate jumping you right in.
Yeah, and it was like with kind of older animation.
It's the origin story of the theme song.
Pretty much. And I actually liked that pilot better than the actual pilot in terms of storyline. But so, yeah, it is kind of one of those shows that dives you in, which Gravity Falls I don't think was, because I did watch the first few and it actually kind of eases you into it. But yeah, so that's been a thing. And it's kind of unrelated, not unrelated, but it's a different show. But have you ever seen any of Clarence?
I've seen bits and I did not like what I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
How dare you? It's more amazing than Chuck. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I was just thinking about it because I haven't like watched it in order like this, but I've seen a few episodes and I found it to be funnier. It's definitely not as imaginative or has an interesting universe as these other two, but the episodes I saw were kind of funnier.
I think it's the animation style I don't like.
It is definitely weird, but I think it's just kind of funny because it's just such a like, not a kid's show, but like it's just about these adventures of these little kids, and there's this really funny part that I always remember that just kind of reminds me of us where he wants to play with this toy that his friend got, but his friend's keeping it in.
I saw that one.
Yeah, and it's so good because he goes, if I don't play with that toy right now, I might die probably. And I was like, oh my god, it's us.
I did like that one a lot.
So I thought that was pretty funny. But like I've watched a few of that, and I thought humor-wise, I thought it was better on some levels. That was the Opal episode. My favorite, like, funny moment from Steven Universe so far was in the Opal episode where he named that goat Steven Jr. and it gets eaten by a dragon and he goes, "My son." I was dead. Like, the delivery of it and, like, the animation of his face was great. And, like, when he's trying to eat the bug when they're in his stomach and he goes, "You're no son of mine." That was pretty great. But yeah, so that's been a thing. I guess that was a good thing for ramble time, but I totally forgot to mention that in my one-ups. But yay for cartoons.
I have to kick it up this week so that you don't get ahead of me.
Man, it's a race. Or we can just try to be more or less even and then sort of do ramble time check-ins. Yeah. We'll try to be done with the first season by next time, hopefully. Alright, so now we can finally move on to
Tweet Tweet, motherfucker!
Straight out of TTMF. Straight out of ramble time, literally.
Like, that meme happened, and, like, it happened overnight. I went to bed, and then I woke up, and now all of a sudden, Straight Outta is a meme, and I had no fucking idea why. Because I didn't know about the movie or anything like that, and so I just wake up, and there's a new meme. I'm like, whoa, what?
It's a brilliant marketing thing, like, for real. Because how fast memes spread, and then to make that with your movie, it was just, that was really good marketing. Mm-hmm. The only thing I knew about it other than the movie before is I knew that song because it's been in like a bunch of movies. Like the song that always plays, yeah. The Straight Outta Compton song. It's like, it's in 21 Jump Street, I think. So it's in a lot of things. I think it's in Horrible Bosses too. Anyway, actual stuff. That was our Straight Outta Compton discussion.
All right. So, the question that I picked, obviously we're doing two questions. We might have to amend the segment to only be one question in the future. Because y'all aren't sending in your damn questions fast enough.
You people don't love us.
I picked Kiefer's question. He said, over the 5 years you guys have been riding this little crazy train fueled by innuendo and Guy Fieri fanfiction, your opinions on every new happening, show, or thing at the time have an inevitably changed.
Do it together, queeps.
Suddenly or drastically, I figure now would be a great time to reflect and laugh at some of the views you had in earlier episodes that simply aren't true anymore. So what are some of the most noteworthy or hilarious shifts in opinion that you've experienced over the podcast history? Extra challenge, you cannot default to Shugi's legendary, only good things can come from Saban owning Power Rangers. Let's see. We've got Oz's Little Bitch. Ryder stops at double for me. That one shifted pretty fast, though, I think. Like, I was really fucking bitter at Oz, and then, like, when we got, like, toy scans, I think, is when I was like, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, and then when the show debuted and stuff.
And then the show was really good, and I really liked the show. So that one shifted pretty fast, but just to even, like, that small gap of time to go from, oh, is it little, that stupid little bitch, look at all his forms, to Oz being one of my favorite writers ever, is definitely, like, the biggest possible shift you could do.
Oz definitely laid it on thick, though, with their press conference in terms of forms. Mm-hmm. Like, because they had so many different forms on stage that they had, like, cardboard cutouts and stuff, which I've never seen them do since. So, like, it was, I guess, easy to understand one part of our frustration with, like, the amount of figure arts they could do, and lo and behold, they only did, like, what, two sets of the non-combos, main combos. But still, like, that part I totally get of, like, man, they're just going insane with all the forms. But, like, that's kind of a weird way. It's a weird way they go about some of the conferences when you think about it. With O's, like, I don't know why they went full on, like, let's show all these combos. And then you have, like, Gaims, which highlighted Greedon, who never really took on the important role that he apparently was supposed to have. So I wanted to think behind that. That's nothing to do with opinions, but made me think of that. Let's see. What's some of our other ones? With mine, to like a lesser extent, I was very hard on Samurai, but I actually liked it more after I rewatched it. I wouldn't say that's like a huge thing, but I'll definitely leap to defend it more than I would.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of leap, understandably so, but
it's like, speaking of leap to defending things, Overdrive is like one of my least favorite seasons that I'm like most likely to defend out of all of them, because of when people say it was like unwatchable, it's like, it had so many better ideas than so many things, and it's so much better than NPR season one. So it's like, I always jump to defend it despite it still being a weaker season.
Well, Overdrive, I think, just had the unfortunate casting more than anything. Like,
yeah,
outside of Spencer and maybe like Rose, the cast wasn't phenomenal. But I think the show was trying to do too much.
Yeah.
But everything that it had going for it was great, for sure. So, I'll half defend it with you there.
Half defenders sometimes surrender.
We have to mention Gokaiger.
Oh God, we were so against Sentai, and we like made fun of everything Gokaiger in the first scans. Oh, the keys, the butts going into the morpher. I don't even think we were that keen on the suits. The Gokaio, totally still understandable. It, you definitely get used to it, but still, like, that first picture, it's definitely a suit that looks a lot better in motion than in toy. And it's always at that like unflattering like up angle.
Yeah.
So that, we were definitely like very hard on Gokaiger, and we were in a really like shit Sentai headspace during that, because we were so hard.
We were
on
in a very negative place during that time.
It's kind of like, maybe to a lesser extent now, but it's almost a similar situation we're in now. It's because Sentai was just kind of disappointing us, and it seemed like, I hope it's not like this forever. But now it's, I don't think we're quite as extreme. Because at least like Tokyo had a better end, so we kind of had a little bit more of a positive end there instead of just being like total negative 2 years in a row. There was definitely the Gokaiger stuff. I feel like there's been a lot more over the years. Had a higher opinion of MMPR before I went back in to rewatch it, and before the fandom held it on such a pedestal.
Like, I know Kiefer does this, and you do this regularly, going back and listening to old episodes. That's something I don't do. So I honestly, unless it's referenced, I don't remember my old opinions, outside of the ones that we make jokes out of, like O's and Gokaiger and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say. I mean, then obviously my Saban thing, but it turned out to be okay. It took 4 years.
Yeah,
it was a
long delayed prediction. There is hard. I'm sure you just like Kiefer, if you're listening to it, you could probably catch more than we can with that. But a random sidetrack for listening to old episodes. I do have like a handful of them on my MP3 player that sometimes when I hook it up to my car will play. And every now and then I'll give it a listen. And, like, at least two of them have my vinyls from Angel J. So, like, when we get to his one up, he'll start talking about it. And it's, like, before the joke about it. And it's, like, the legit story of him. And I always crack up when that comes up. And it's just so weird hearing that time of, like, CS Toys and Gaia Memories and stuff. Like, those are the ones that are on there. And, like, our really old intro. I'm having a hard time thinking of other toku opinions, but one more recent one was definitely Game of Thrones. where I thought it was really boring.
Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, Doctor Who for sure.
We were so against Doctor Who.
Yeah, I remember, like, one of the first experiences I had with it is actually talking to Brian, and I had, it was like Day of the Moon or something on mute. I don't remember if it was the first or second part, but it was like when they were marking themselves. And so there's no context. I have no idea what the storyline is, and it's on mute. So I'm like, this is the weirdest, dumbest show ever. And even like when I started the first season, like I was having a hard time getting into it. And Matt's like, ha! And of course, like the generic pick is Blink, which despite that being the generic first episode for everyone to get into now, it's still like my favorite episode. But anyway, so I watched that. I'm like, this is great. And I still even had a hard time getting through the first season initially, but then that totally changed. But Game of Thrones 2, the sequel, no. But, like, I thought it was boring. I couldn't get into it the first few times. I, like, popped in one time when they were doing a marathon, and it was like there was the red. I saw the Red Wedding and didn't even know it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is too violent even for me. But then, like, I'm watching it, and I'm, like, hanging on their every word at council meetings and shit. And, like, it consumed my every thought for weeks. So, like, that's definitely a thing that happened. I still don't think it's quite on the level people think it is, but it's definitely good, and I can see why people like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty recent one. I mention this more often, but Teen Wolf and even The Vampire Diaries are definitely shows that I, before watching them, like, sort of wrote off as, lol, it's just a Twilight cash-in. But they're definitely much better than that, especially Teen Wolf. But Vampire Diaries as well. Trying to think if there was any other, like, you know, local TV shows like that that I sort of thought of in that way. Definitely not Pokemon. Pokemon, like, the anime opinion is just downgraded over the years.
You got that.
I don't think there's too much else.
Yeah. But honestly, Kiefer, if you can think of any that we haven't really mentioned, let us know, because I'm really actually really curious.
Yeah, me too, because I definitely know it's happened to all of us over the last few years.
Gimmick figures?
Oh, yeah. Like with WFCs
way back
stuff?
When it was like, where would you get WFCs when you can just save and get the figurettes? I don't need gimmick figures because I'm going to buy all the figurettes anyway, and the figurettes are going to do all the forms. I don't need to mix and match, and that's stupid.
Figurettes.
Flashback to now where figurettes are like, hey, it's that thing, and then gimmick figures are like, hey, these are really fun, even though I sold them. But that's not the point. They're still fun. But, like, that opinion shifted quite a bit.
For me, the American Zords, I wasn't a huge fan of the Samurai Megazord when I first got it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, thinking back, I forgot that I got that for, like, $12 because they put it on clearance because I thought it was the MMPR remaster Megazord.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Another thing that my opinion shifted on was the Joint Gatai figures.
Oh, those like sort of Japanese sword builder ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
During Gokaicho, we were watching that video and the kid was playing and was like, look at the kid playing with his fake Megazords. What a little bitch.
That's a good one. Toy opinions, but I can't think of I bet there's probably a bunch in my reviews that have changed. There's some toy lines that'll initially start out like that I'll end up liking, and then as it goes on I just kind of get bored with them. Yeah, we're definitely all notorious for that, and I bet that if anybody listens to it, they'll find some. And speaking of Kiefer listening to it, I totally appreciate him randomly, like he just did a couple days ago, listening to like old episodes and like the riff episodes and just reminding me of shit. Sometimes I'll be like, oh yeah, that was really funny, and sometimes I'm like, the fuck is this dude talking about? There was one time, it was a couple months ago, I think he was re-listening to, like, the 90s episode or something, and he used one of his signature Kiefer hashtags that he pretty much makes up. And so I didn't know what the hashtag was at first, and it was, like, a totally insane line, sounded batshit crazy, didn't know what the hashtag was. It wasn't until I saw another tweet that followed that I knew was from us that I contextualized it, and it's almost funnier when I see a line that sounds like somebody with schizophrenia said, and it was just us. But, like, I don't remember saying it. But somehow, you know we said it.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he was We need to get back to that riff show. We need to do another episode. But all the stuff about like the Wonka tie and the Griffizer commentary, and I forgot we did the G-Ranger movie or the Kyuriger movie, Kyuriger Go Busters. I forgot we did that.
We did?
Yeah, we did. I thought we just did the My Morphin Life, but we did that one.
Oh, what do you know?
The more you know or don't know. All right. What was the other question? Who was it from? I'm sorry, I'm not... Like, I'm at the computer, but I'm too lazy to go log in.
it was from... assuming it's the one that we picked. This one is from TKDT Gray, who says, by the time the podcast comes out, I'll be 26. Happy birthday, long time listener. You, sly dog.
You, Sly Cooper.
You need me to read the question? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dawson's pick. He says, anyways, with the Tokyo to Return segment, you started talking about how we all still kind of get mocked for our love of Toku or just PR.
Amanda, please. So, sorry.
What's your best comeback to someone saying you're dumb for watching kids' shows? I don't have one.
The only one I sort of have is from Community, but someone has to say something very specific where they'll be like, I'm going to be doing adult things, because there's an episode of Community where they're like, oh, we're going to go build a blanket for it. And she says, oh, I'm going to be busy doing adult things. And Troy just says, have fun eating fiber and watching The Mentalist. So I love that one, but like, you have to have very specific circumstances for it. But yeah, I don't, other than that, I don't really have one. And honestly, I don't encounter that too much anymore, because either the people I associate with are in a position where it's like a normal situation to know it, like Morphicon, or I just don't tell people. Like, I don't go out there and just advertise it.
I think another thing is that, like, in being into those types of things now is very mainstream.
Yeah.
To be into like all these Cartoon Network shows and like Power Rangers with nostalgia and Pokemon and Digimon and all that. It's a very commonplace thing now, to where I think there'll always be a stigma involved. Like, oh, this person watches fucking kids shows. He's not mature like me. So, that stigma's always going to be there, but I think it's happening less and less because of just how mainstream, like, I hate the term, but nerd culture is now.
Yeah.
So I think that that's going away a bit. I mean, like I said, it's always going to be there, and especially from older adults that, like, haven't grown up in this generation are always going to be like, well, why are you into things like that? That's juvenile or something like that. But I think peers-wise, it's becoming a lot more accepted.
I think it's kind of a dumb way of thinking in general that there's like an age cutoff for liking things. Mm-hmm. That just, like, just if you sit there and think about it for a while logically, like, I don't know why you're not allowed to watch superhero shows or Cartoon Network after you hit like 15 or something. Like, that just seems dumb. Like, why can't you just like what you like? And it never made sense to me. Like, maybe it's because I'm into this stuff, but like, on a logic level, why, for like 20 somethings or teenagers, why is it cooler to like grown men throwing balls at each other than it is people that shoot lasers out of their eyes and save the world? How is that cooler? Like, just how did that happen? I want to be at the big meeting where it was decided it's more socially acceptable to like something as boring as sports than like all of this crazy awesome shit that's just like logically way cooler.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Like, I just don't understand how that's a thing. I never understood that, but yeah, I agree that it's definitely become more acceptable, but it's just, I just do not understand when people have that logic, like, why I all of a sudden have to like boring stuff.
I watch baseball, but like, I'm not like into it to the point where like I'm memorizing stats or wanting to do fantasy leagues or anything like that. Like, I'll just watch it because I find it mildly entertaining. But like, outside of that, I don't get it. Like, I really don't get football. I
don't either.
I really...
Like I said, it's like a scene they keep messing up. And they keep having to reset because they start, and they start the scene, and then somebody drops the ball and back to one. Over and over again.
I'm okay with hockey, too. I can watch baseball a lot, and I can watch hockey. But I get so bored with football and soccer is boring to me. So is basketball. I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a sports. I'm not a sports.
I want a shirt that says that.
I just can't get into it. I don't know.
Well, the thing is,
exactly.
I'm
not wired like that.
I'm really not into any of it. Like, I don't care if you watch it. I just think that people that watch it that put down other interests that, for me, I guess maybe it's because of my mindset, but I just don't logically understand how that can be mainstream. Like, even though the nerd culture is more mainstream, how still what overrides that is thinking that sports is cooler than superheroes, which I just do not get at all. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense logically. Like, this dude's sitting here shooting lightning, battling for the world, and you're more excited about this guy throwing a cone at each other. It's just, I do not understand. But yeah, that's stuff.
That
so
certainly stuff.
That is the good way to end it. I am not sports. Certainly stuff. So keep sending in your questions. Like I said, we've been slowing down on them because everyone hates us and we're like the black sheep of podcasts. But send in your Twitter questions to @TheRRPodcast #TTMF. And if you don't, then TTFN. No, TTFF. Ta-ta forever. Wait, that's not even right. TFE. There's an extra... Fucking, I can't even do... That's what happens when you use abbreviations. But yeah, send in your questions. Just anything you can think of. Just what kind of bread did you eat this week? We'll answer anything at this point. Now it's time for...
Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
All that stuff we just done said.
Yep. We just done fucked it up, Kyle.
If there's one thing we fantastic at, it's talk.
There's only two of us, there's not even four of us.
Or is there?
There's probably enough voices in our head to make four.
Like 14. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.